Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to share just briefly this morning because I think God has done a wonderful work already. But 1 Corinthians 13, it's a very familiar passage. For many of us, we know it. But it says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. But now we see our reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, that I shall fully know, even as I am fully known. And this is the last verse I want to be, and I'll speak about this a little bit later on. And these things remain. These three things remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And before I start, I think Sarah did a work on my glasses. Can't see. It's okay. When I shared with you last, I had shared about the applications of life. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's interesting to me, at me, after I share that word, and I know it's for those who also preach the word, that God sort of brings you through those areas of life that you just preached about, and says, do you really mean what you said? And challenged me to put into practice what I preached. Because since that time I shared those words on January 2nd, I went to Las Vegas on January 6th, returned on January 9th, left for New Orleans on January 10th, returned on January 14th, had thyroid surgery to remove my left thyroid, not knowing whether there was cancer or not, but praise the Lord, it was negative. Stayed home for a few days. In fact, Sue even took away my iPad, so I couldn't do some work. Left for Florida on January 29th, came back on February 6th, left for San Diego on February 7th, came back on February 12th, and stayed home. And now I'm staying home until at least March 16th, until I go head back to Las Vegas for my convention. Since returning, I've been working 50 to 60 hours a week, since I've been short-staffed at work. All my staff left in December. And however, that will be changing this week as new staff comes aboard, praise God. And I went to the thyroid doctor on Friday, and the right thyroid, we found out, is producing enough hormones that I don't need to take any medicine, and he declared me normal. Now, I know there's some debate of whether I'm normal or not. So anyway, but praise God. And I share this not for individuals to feel sorry for me, but to know that the Lord has sustained me through all of this. He sustained me. And in fact, he had to get my attention many times through my wonderful wife, because I would call back and she would encourage me at times when I was discouraged or I was feeling down and tired and stuff like that. And I need a lift from her and the Lord. And she shared a story with me that I want to share with you. It comes out of the devotional that Northgate supplies. It's a very powerful word if you think about it. Title of the thing is, Are You Going to Heaven? When 10-year-old Mary's mother died, she became mother of the house, caring for her father who worked the night shift at a local mine. One evening as she was packing his lunch, she slipped a gospel booklet inside, hoping he would find comfort after the loss of his wife. Suddenly at 1 a.m., an emergency whistle sounded, telling the townspeople miners had been caught in a collapsed mine. The emergency workers went through the night and finally broke through to a small cavern where they found the miners. Sadly, it was too late. All 8 miners had suffocated, including Mary's father. The rescuers were devastated. As they surveyed the scene, they noticed that the men had died seated in a circle. Looking closer, they discovered that Mary's father was sitting with a small booklet in his lap, open to the last page where the plan of salvation was explained. On that page, he had written a special message to her. "My dear Mary, by the time you find this, I'll be with your mother. I read your little book several times to the others while we waited to be rescued. Our hope is fading for this life, but not for the next. We did as the book told us and prayed. I love you, and one day we'll be all together in heaven. Are you going to heaven? Do you know for sure you can? These things I have written that you may have eternal life." You know, the scripture I read earlier about 1 Corinthians 13, it showed a lot of weddings. In fact, Sue and I memorized it just prior to our wedding. It's something that was very important to us. It speaks about the covenant God has with us, the covenant God has established in each one of our lives, and that we have with each other. I look at covenant as a part of God's covering over us. One of the things married couples have to determine when they first get married and they start sleeping together is that who's going to get the covers in the bed? I'll let you determine that. There are some things there that people don't like to have covers. Some people like to have a lot of covers. But there's probably some discussions that go on during that time. But Dale Martin, during one of the sessions I was able to attend at the Living Grace Conference convocation, was that the real covenant is embracing the kingdom of God. It's embracing the kingdom of God in each one of our lives, in every aspect of our life. We're called on, in my opinion, to embrace love, to embrace faith, and to embrace hope. You know, he talked about that. He said, "I must have been reading my notes, because that's what's been in my heart for the past 3 or 4 weeks, is about the covenant of God and what God meant to each one of us. Are we willing to withstand the attacks against the kingdom of God? What are we going to do to strengthen it? Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You know, this verse, it talks about very, very poignantly that we're called to seek first His kingdom. Not our own. His kingdom. His kingdom. You really spend time really thinking about what His kingdom is all about? What does it mean to you? It's interesting that Vance talked about the mansion, that God's prepared a mansion for us, and God's prepared rooms for us. I think of what the room might be for me if I designed it. Big screen TV, golf place there that I can hit some golf or whatever, little things around. But is that the mansion that God wants for me? Probably not. He probably has something completely different in mind. His kingdom is different than what I proclaim to be His kingdom. We've got to think about that. Many times we want to focus on ourselves instead of focusing on what God has in store for each one of our lives. I mean, even where I was going through all the trials and different things of traveling, Sue was able to help me bring back to focus. Okay, what's God want? What does God want? Let's look at Luke 6, if you will. Turn with me to Luke 6, looking at verses 47 to 49. Luke 6. Verses 47 to 49, it says, "As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that rock but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my word and does not put them into practice is like the man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and destruction was complete. We've seen over the past few days the winds that have come up in this area. And we've seen trees topple because their roots did not go down deep there. Their roots are shallow. It's the same thing we have in our own lives today. Our covenant with God is determined how strong our foundation is. Is our foundation on solid ground or is it on shallow ground? Is it something built out of the rock or is it something built out of sand? No matter what comes in our lives, are we able to stand firm what God has in store for us? It's interesting to me, if you look around the countries, whatever, that have earthquakes, even in California and different areas, those that have solid foundation when the earthquakes hits are very strong. They stand firm. Those that are weak, that's what happened in Haiti. Because of the foundations were so weak, all the buildings just collapsed because there was no foundation there. We have earthquakes that happen in each one of our lives that we need to stand firm on the foundation of Jesus Christ. That's the covenant we have with God. And depending on what that covenant is, it's a matter, is it our own covenant with something else? Is it our covenant with God? And that's what we have to examine in each one of our lives. How strong is my covenant? How strong is my foundation? Every day of our life, we've got to examine that. We've got to be able to go forth in that area. Our covenant with God, again, is like the hymn says. Is it solid rock? Or is it like sinking sand? Solid rock or like sinking sand? You know, Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of salvation. First for the Jew, then to the Greek." The gospel is power. God's word does not return void. It doesn't return void. But one of the things about God's word that people don't like to hear. God's word blesses, but God's word also curses. We don't follow Him. He doesn't allow things to happen in our lives that we don't like. You go through the Old Testament, when the nation of Israel did not follow what God had in store for them, there were curses that were brought down on them. But praise God, we have the covenant of God, of Jesus Christ, that when we come before Jesus Christ and we accept Him as Lord and Savior, He's taken those curses on the cross. He's released us from those areas. But God's word does not return void. If we don't follow what He's saying, things are not going to happen the right way in our lives. We've watered down the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've watered it down. We haven't been strong in that area. God says in His Word that we fail to acknowledge Him before others, He will not acknowledge us before the Father. I don't know about you, but I'm convicted every day of that. That I really need to acknowledge God before others. And that acknowledging before God, before others, not just my word, it's how I act. My wife keeps getting after me. I think she is the angel that God has sent into my life to be the spiritual nag, if you will. Is there a word like that? All the husbands are saying, I think there is one. But see, I have an affinity about people on cell phones driving cars. And I keep saying, get off the cell phone. He says, they can't hear you. All you guys are laughing, right? But you wish you're the same way. But you know what? That's not the act of God that is there. We talk about the covenant of God. And we are the creation of God. We are the people that people see. We are the people that God walks through. God uses to be able to bless others. And God wants that establishment to happen in each one of our lives. He wants us to be able to acknowledge God the Father. You know, Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks, so in his heart he is. Well, that makes it tough, doesn't it? When we start thinking those thoughts, You start thinking those areas. And let me say that man is basically, as Thurlow would say, man and female man. It's everybody. It's all inclusive. As we think those thoughts, so in his heart we are. We need to inspect the foundation of our life and our covenant with God. We need to inspect it every day. You know, we could talk forever about the covenant of God, and there have been many books written on this subject. But I'm going to spend just the next few minutes on three words that we talked about at the end of 1 Corinthians 13. The first one is we need to embrace faith in our life as part of God's covenant. We need to embrace it. Look with me over to Matthew 9. And we're not going to read the verses, but I want you to take a look at it. It's going to be verses, Matthew 9, looking at verses 18 through 31. And there are two instances of faith here. As you look at those verses, first one, it talks about the woman who has been bleeding for 12 years. Bleeding for 12 years. And the other one is basically about the blind man. In both instances, Jesus used faith as a criteria for their healing. He says, woman, because you have faith, you are healed. The blind man, because you have faith, you can now see. We need to embrace faith in our lives. We need to be able to go before God and say, God, I have faith for these things that have happening. Both of these healings were dramatic. Both of these things were happening in our life. A year and a half ago, I might have my timing off a little bit, maybe a little bit longer than that. Gwen was laying in a hospital. We weren't sure she was going to make it. There was a lot of faith going on. But a lot of faith probably was being doubted too, because is it really going to happen? Are we really going to see Gwen walk back into this place? I'm sure there were times when we had very strong faith. But there were times when our faith was weak. But praise God, Gwen did walk back into this place. Praise God that God is working in her life and touching people's lives. She's learning how to drive. Praise the Lord. But what is God asking you for to have faith? What covenant do you have with God right now to say, I have faith for this. I have faith for this. I have faith that my family is going to be changed. I have faith that my finances are going to be changed. I have faith that I can be stronger in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the faith you have is not your own faith. It's the faith of God Himself. It's His covenant faith that you need to take a hold of and embrace. It is not our faith. We can do all things in Christ who strengthens us, but we cannot do it unless we have the faith of God being instilled in each one of us. Sue can't walk on my faith. I can't walk on my own faith. I need the faith of God. It is His faith that I need to embrace. The second is hope. Psalm 31:24 says, be strong and take all you who hope in the Lord. Where does our hope lie? Where does our hope lie? David made it very clear that our hope is only in the Lord. Our hope cannot lie in somebody else. Your hope can't lie in me. Can't lie in Pastor Dan or Pastor Thurlow. It can't lie in the person right next to you. You know why? Romans 3:23 is all we need to know. It says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We will fail to meet your expectations. The only person who meets the expectations in each one of our lives is Jesus Christ. But those expectations that are being met many times are flawed because we have our own expectations of what Jesus should be like. Instead of understanding who Jesus really is. And the only way we can understand the hope in Jesus Christ is we need to get to know Jesus. We need to embrace Jesus. We need to understand Jesus. We need to have that covenant with Jesus and not with ourselves. Because the expectations that we have for Jesus Christ in our own spirit might be knocked down. Because it might not be what Jesus has in store for each one of us. And the only way we have that is to be embracing the hope of Jesus. Because He never fails to fulfill the expectations in our life. And the last thing is embracing love. John 3:16, we know it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes, and I believe, establish covenant with Him, shall not perish but have eternal life." God has embraced, as I already talked about earlier, each and every one of us by the tremendous love of God. Dave so eloquently put it, how much He can give His love to Sarah, every child here, how much more God's love is for each one of us. We can't even imagine that. I got a cup of water here. Is this all of God's love? There's more and more of this than I can even imagine. But our minds are so finite that we can't establish that. That's when we need to go and just love God. Love God so much more. But our covenant love can sometimes come in question with the Father. Turn with me to John 21. God put this on my heart in terms of, I'm going to share it in my own way. I want to give credit to the one who really trained me in this area, and I am going to ask forgiveness ahead of time, but I'm going to blow it. But this is going to be my interpretation of it, but Thurlow does such a wonderful job on this. John 21, looking at verses 15. 15 through 19. Because I look at this and I say, Jesus is asking each one of us many times, how much do you love me? As Jesus asked Peter. And for the first two times, Peter answered the question, I love you just as a friend. I love you as a friend. Is that the way we love God? As a friend? As a friend that can be put on the bookshelf? Do we embrace Jesus as just that person? But the last part is, finally Peter got it. When Jesus had asked him the third time, he says, how much do you love me? And Peter understood then, I can't love you as a friend. I've got to love you in an agape way, be able to covenant with you. That covenant love of God. Jesus then determined, now you've gotten it, Peter. And this is how you're going to show your love. This is how you're going to give your life for me. Dramatically, many times, we want to have Jesus just love us as the friend because we don't want to have that sacrifice of giving ourselves over to Him 100%. We haven't covenanted enough with Jesus Christ. I know when I covenanted with Sue over 36 years ago to marry her, she wanted me to be her friend, but she wanted me more than a friend. She wanted me to be her husband, the one that was so in love with her that I would give my life for her. How much more should we give our life to Jesus Christ? It's just not a friend relationship anymore. It's a covenant relationship. It is something there. What is God calling you to give up for Him? Are you just a friend of Jesus Christ? Are you embracing Jesus Christ more than you can ever wonder? Brothers and sisters, this is something where the kingdom of God is coming in play right now. People are looking at the church of Jesus Christ right now. Are you the friend of the world? Or are you embracing the kingdom of God? God desires nothing less than we embrace His love. God says, in one of the hardest verses we have, where it goes back to His Word, Because many times our love for somebody is such a dramatic thing. That God's word doesn't return void. Imagine what the simple act of a 10-year-old did because she loved her father. The simple act of a 10-year-old. We don't think about that that often. It says God's word does not return void. It says if you love me, you will obey me. What areas of your life right now that are being challenged that you're not obeying God? God asks me that every single day of my life. He asks me that every morning. Rick, where are the areas of your life that you're not obeying me? And I've got to go and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for these areas. Forgive me that I have not embraced you with the faith that I need to have. Forgive me that I have not embraced the hope of God in my life. Forgive me that I have not embraced the love of God, the covenant love of God. We sang the song about running to Christ. But running to Christ means that we're embracing Him. We're embracing Him. We're holding Him when the things get tough. I know as we establish the covenant of God in each one of our lives are going to change. Our lives will change. Father, we just thank you today, Lord God, for the covenant of Jesus Christ in each one of our lives. Father, I thank you today, Lord, that you are somebody, Father, that we can just really come before. You're the sovereign Lord in each one of our lives. Father, I just go back again to that one 10-year-old girl who was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, was able to share just a little booklet, share part of her life for her father, not knowing what it might lead. But Father, know today that her father is with you. Thank you today, Lord God, for the simpleness of your message. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.